Okay, good morning, everyone. We're in Sefer Yeshua, Perichov, and we're on the piece over here with this sheet over here. We're looking at this sheet, and there should be some extras. We were in the middle of it yesterday. The sheet that we're looking at, be careful you got the right one. It says, Tuf, Tuf, Kuf, Yud, Aleph, on the upper left-hand side. Tuf, Tuf, Kuf, Yud, Aleph. All right, and we were on a discussion. Why are there more killers? The fact that there, first of all, there's more killers on the east bank of the Jordan than the west bank of the Jordan, right? And if there are, why should that mean that you have to have more Ari Miklat, cities of refuge, that are only helpful for people who kill unintentionally? That was the issue. So we brought a Gemara, an interesting Gemara in the Dorim, that talked about Ula, who was walking with two guys from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and they already were on the east bank of the Jordan River side of Eretz Yisrael, and he saw one guy got up, got angry, and killed another guy. So, whoa, I thought there only was in Bavel. He says, well, I want you to know, we have not yet crossed the Jordan River. Oh, okay, then it makes sense, on the east side. So we have to understand that. So we're on the third paragraph on Tuf, Tuf, Kuf, Yud, Aleph. Yineh, Yesh Lishol, we can ask a question. Av Shehem Lo Avra Adayin HaSeyarde, even though they didn't cross the Jordan River, Mikol Mokom Be'eretz Bavel Gam Lo Hoyu, they weren't in Bavel either. V'im Kein Madua Koas Kol Kach, why did he get so angry? Ulayev Shalomer, perhaps we can answer by explaining the psukim in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Chavches, psukim Samach Dalad and Samach E. This is part of the Toichacha, which is in Parshas Kisavo. And he's going to quote you the next two psukim, and let's do them inside the Chumash and read what they mean. The Pasuk says in Pasuk Samach Dalad, Hashem Bechol Ha'amin Mikse Haaretz V'Akse Haaretz. I'm sorry, I skipped the word. V'afitzcha Hashem, b'chol ha'amim mikzei ha'aretz v'ad kitzei ha'aretz. Hashem will scatter you amongst all the peoples from the end of the earth to the end of the earth. V'avadto shom Elohim acherim, eshel v'yedato ato v'avosecha etz v'aven. And there you will work for gods of others whom you did not know, you or your forefathers, of wood and stone. You're going to worship idols. You're going to be working for idolatry. That's what's going to happen. You're going to go into exile. You're going to be forced to bow down to idols and serve idols. Next pasuk. Samachay. Uva goyim ha'em lo sargia. And among those nations you will not be tranquil. Lo yeh manoach lekaf reglecho. There will be no rest for the sole of your foot. V'nosan Hashem lecha shom. Hashem will give you there. Lev ragoz, a trembling heart, v'chilyon einayim, and longing of eyes, v'davo nafesh, and suffering of soul. And it's from these words, especially the words, lev ragoz, a trembling heart, can also mean an angry heart, and that's what the Gemara brought that pasuk in the paragraph before, where Rabbi Yochanan says, wait, it says Hashem will give you over there, in exile, a lev ragoz, an angry heart. Right over there. And that's what this pasuk is saying. Over there, you'll have an angry heart, you'll have a temper. So now let's analyze those two psukim. Look what I've underlined now. It says, Nir lafi anais daiti. So now look at these two psukim. The first pasuk says, you're going to go to the non-Jews, you're going to be scattered to the non-Jewish places, you're going to serve idols. You know, you're going to work there. For vad toshom Elohim acherim, you will work for gods of others whom you did not know. And then the next pasuk says, you're not going to have rest, you're not going to have tranquility. You're going to be angry, hot tempered. So are these two just took and one have nothing to do with the other? So he says like this in the underlines. Lefi ani hasdaiti, it appears to me she'ef shaloimer, you could say she'apsukim kan bikavonas mulchim echad l'sheni. These two psukim are intentionally one connected to the others. Shekein hayos, that's the way it is. Vayehagolus, through the Golus, Yigrom Shiavdu Avodizara, by living amongst the non-Jewish in the world, in the Almud Shikra, in the world of lies, you are going, it's going to cause you to serve idols. Now there's all kinds of idol worship in the world. Right? There's the idols of wood and stone, and the idols, remember what an idol is. Idol is putting your trust in anything other than in Hashem. That's what an idol is. Doing a service that's strange. Avodah Zarah, literally in Hebrew, means avoda, work, that's Zarah, that's strange. Strange work for a Jew. Right? That's strange. A Jew wouldn't do this. Only because you're in Galus and Nebuch. The whole world does it, so you feel compelled to do it. And that's Avodah Zarah. So Avodah Zarah, certainly, there's an Avodah Zarah that the famous Yerushalmi tells us, that although during the first temple era, we had a Yetzer to bow down to wooden stones, Taka, bow down to the sun. We had such a Yetzer. That Yetzer was replaced in the second base of Migdash. And really this Toichacha, Parsh Kisavo, is referencing the destruction of the second base of Migdash. Right? The second base of Migdash, after the first base of Migdash was destroyed, the Yetzer Hara for idol worship was changed in the Yetzer Hara for the pursuit of money. And it's the pursuit of money which is the new idol. It's the new idol. It is the new idol. Why is that the new idol? Because that's what we put our trust in. Put our trust in our bank accounts. Put our trust in making the almighty dollar. And if I have enough money in the bank, I have emuna. I have bitachon, everything's going to be great. And I worship it. People, mamish, worship it. They give their lives up for it. Their moiser nefesh for it. And that's Avodah Zarah too. It's no difference. What's the worst part of Avodah Zarah? The worst part of Avodah Zarah is that you're not spending your time connecting to Hashem. That's the worst. Besides that, it's a lie. And besides, it's a waste of time. But the worst part is that you're not connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you're connecting to something else. You're intimately involved in stocks and mergers and this and that. And that's what you talk about all day long in shul, on Shabbos. You talk about this stock. You talk about this company that's now only trading at $2 a stock instead of $180 a stock. That's what you're talking about. You're not talking about, as I said last night in the class, that Hashem looks down from the world and see who's searching him out. Right? You're not. That's what idol worship is. You're connecting to, it's like, Neb, Lahavdol, that's what it is. You know, idol worship is the second of the commandments. Ten commandments, you're not to do idol worship. You know, you can read the Ten Commandments across. Not only down, but across. Because one's on the side between man and man, man and God, the other side is man and God. Man and man. So the second one is, shouldn't worship idols. Go across to the seventh. What's the seventh? Should not commit adultery. What does one have to do with the other? The answer is that's exactly what it is. What's wrong with adultery? What's wrong with adultery? What's so bad about it? Well, you're married, you committed to one person, and guess what? You bring a foreigner into the relationship. You know, you can't look at your spouse the same way after you've been involved with a foreigner in the relationship. You've tainted your own relationship in such a terrible way, you can't look at your spouse the same way anymore. It's just, the relationship's destroyed. So it's the same thing. You have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You bring idol worship in, you destroy the relationship. Your mind is on the adulterous party. Right? So you're supposed to think about Hashem all day long, and what are you thinking about? Everything that the idol is offering you. Right? That's the idol. That's the idol worship that we have. This happens when you're in Golus. No, this doesn't happen now. This doesn't happen now. People destroying their families over money, destroying their kids over money, deciding to send their children to not proper Jewish day schools because they figure the other ones will give them a better job. Meanwhile, they don't have a Torah-based education. They don't learn how to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not idol worship. Jews are serving idols all day long. All day long they're serving idols. When you're serving idols, the pasuk says something very fascinating. When you're serving idols, you will become an angry person. An ill-tempered person. That's what the two pasukim are saying. You go to a strange land, you're going to work for the idols. And then what's going to happen? What happens is, though, And it's not just that. It says, you will not be tranquil. There'll be no rest for the sole of your foot. Hashem will give you an angry heart, longing of eyes, and suffering of soul. Is this not a description of the North American Jew? The Jew of Gauls? The Jew of Gauls that has no rest. You're always stressed out. Because why? Because you're running after the dollar. You're running after the, most people. I'm not saying there's some who don't. Not everybody has to accept the Gaulus and be in the Gaulus. You could free yourself from this. But most Jews can't free themselves. The biggest proof is, there's only 7 guys here for class. 7 guys here for class. Why? Because either everybody has a schedule that Gaulus forces them not to learn Torah first thing in the morning. Right? Or they're so exhausted from their Avodah Zarah, from their work, they can't get up in the morning. Okay, that's where it's at. Right? Jews can't make it to Minyan. And we already discussed how important it is to be in a Minyan. Right? You can't come to Shul. You can't. What is it? What's Avodah Zarah? What was Avodah Zarah in the old days? Instead of going to the temple to worship God, what did you do? You went to another place to do your thing. Right? What's Avodah Zarah? Yeah. Instead of going to see God, you see somebody else. So what happens? Instead of coming to Shul to daven, to talk to Hashem, to connect to Hashem, you go and you connect to your office. Your office is the promise of everything that's there. And what does the office give you? Headaches, aggravation. You're stressed out. You're running faster than you can think. You're doing 27 different things. You're working harder, making less money. And you're working harder and harder to find out ways to make less and less money. Right? That's what it is. So you're stressed out. You have to take pills. You have to this, you have to that. And then what happens to a lot of these guys? To a lot of these guys, you know, you get to the point of midlife crisis. Taki is a crisis because after a while you wake up and say, what am I doing? And then you start blaming your spouse for all these problems. And then you start fooling around with somebody else. And more than that, you get angry. Why do you get so angry? Why do you get so angry? Because you're in a rush. You're in a rush. Because the work has stressed you to the point you have to be rushing all day long. You put too many hours into the day for one thing that you shouldn't be. I'm not saying you shouldn't work. I'm not saying you shouldn't work. But, you know, but when it becomes the idol, and you have to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning and stay till 8 o'clock at night, and then you have to do everything else. You still have to be a good father. You still have to take care of things in the house. You're rushing. There's no tranquility. When you're rushing, you get angry. You know, my wife told me a story this week. She was giving a class at somebody's house. A home group. Okay, so my wife gets there. She parks on one side. She parks on the curb, you know, but the street. She's on the street. It's not a problem. Comments later, another lady comes in, and she's in a rush, and she's coming from the other side. She parks on the other side of the street. Okay, a lot of times people don't realize that when two cars on a small street are parked on two sides of the street, it's impossible for a car to get through. Okay, this was on a cul-de-sac. It's only about 2 other houses that could have even needed to go through. Whatever, this woman didn't think about it. She didn't think about it. Okay, she gets in the house. Then, a minute later, another lady pulls up. And she already sees that there is a car that can't get out. So she rushes to goes into the house, tells the other lady, you know what, you should move your car because this guy can't get out. She says, oh, I didn't realize. Sweet woman, my wife told me it was. She says, sweet woman, and she certainly didn't intentionally mean to do that. So she rushes to pull the car out. She figures since she did such a terrible thing, so she goes over to the car that's waiting, taps on the window. The guy rolls down the window. And she says, you know, I'm really sorry that I blocked you. I'm going to move it right now. To which the guy responds with a verbal assault of 4-letter words. Okay, now, how long was this guy inconvenienced? 2 minutes, the most. 3 minutes. 3 minutes. And the person came back and apologized. Like I said, I admit I was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. Okay. Maybe you get a hump, you know, a hump. Oh, okay. Don't do it again. You know, he has to swear at her. So why is it? Because the guy's in a rush. The guy's in a rush. I have to be so, I have to this. When you're in a rush, your whole life is rush, you don't got time, right? And doesn't that get, isn't that the thing that makes a person the most angry? You know, what right did you have to destroy my whole life? Now the whole night is wrecked. You know, who knows if he was trying to rush out to buy a tray of pizza and get back to watch a movie, face, I don't know what he did, pick his car up from another sporting event. Whatever it is, the 3 minutes isn't going to make the difference. Right? But that's the idea. People just don't. That's, we're so stressed out. We're on the line. We have no patience for anything. And you get so angry. You get so angry. So this is what happens. On the other hand, this is because we worship idols. On the other hand, if you recall from our Bilvavi Sefer, if you recall from Bilvavi, we talked about that anger is the sign, remember, that in that chapter that dealt with believing that Hashem is supervising everything in the world. And he says, what's the litmus test of you believing and feeling close to Hashem? The litmus test is, do you get angry or not? If you recall. That's the litmus test. And especially if, not only at a situation, but if somebody does something, creates the situation to get you angry. If you recall. And he says, and that's the litmus test if you really believe that Hashem is supervising every moment of your life. So if you believe that Hashem is supervising every moment of your life, you're a God-fearing Jew. If you don't, it means you don't believe God's in charge. So what do you believe? Well, it's a form of idol worship. If you don't believe God's in charge and something else is in charge, so that's idol worship. So what do you see? The litmus test for idol worship is anger. It goes hand in hand. Either you believe that Hashem runs the world and takes care of every single thing in your life, and Hashem makes it that this lady parked on the other side, see, by mistake, and, you know, this nice woman, she would never hurt a fly. And she made a mistake. And either you believe that God orchestrated that your life should be inconvenienced for 3 minutes and you accept it, or you believe that there is no God. You believe there is no God. If you believe there is no God, then there's something else that's running this world. And the reason is, and this man probably is generally a nice man, but you know, he's running around, he's got all kinds of stress in his life, and he can't take waiting 3 minutes, and you get angry. You get angry. And that is the litmus test. Yeah, Shelley?
Just reminds me of a comment Rabbi Stern made.
Okay. Speak up. Yeah?
Which was, not in that case, that's kind of trivial, but something like, God forbid something terrible happens. Angry at Hashem.
Yes, same idea.
But he said, in some respects, it's not a bad thing, because at least if you're angry at Hashem, it shows one thing. At least you believe in him. You believe he's the one who created the events that happened.
Maybe. I mean, it's a semi-believer.
You're a believer, you're just not happy with what he did.
So then that's a lack of belief. I mean, it's a half-believer. It's a half believer. You believe God's out there, but why aren't you taking care of me? It's a half believer. It means you're only half a heretic.
Well,
yeah, no.
At least
no. But here's the point. I agree. But the point is, a person like that does not know the first animamin. The first animamin is, you know, Hashem is Borei Umanhig, creator and director of traffic. So, you know, technically, if you're smart enough, that would make you a heretic. But it's better than a non-believer. Better than a non-believer. But here, it's like, you know, you don't believe God's directing traffic. You know, and even if he's here, who knows? Who knows if he's here? But you get angry. That's what Hashem says. Hashem says, me and the arrogant one cannot live in the same world. Me and the arrogant one cannot live in the same world. No. Where does the guy become arrogant from? If you really believe in Hashem, if you really believe in Hashem, can you ever be arrogant? If you really believe in Hashem, then you know whatever you do comes from Hashem. Right? It's not possible for you to be a Baal Gaiva. If you believe in Hashem, if you believe Hashem directs all the traffic, you believe Hashem gave you, you're rich. You believe Hashem gave you the good business opportunities. If you're very smart, you say, Hashem gave me the brain. Good looks, Hashem gave me the good looks. You have nothing to be arrogant about. If you don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you have what to be arrogant about. And the Rambam tells us that the two sides of the coin, anger is on one side of the coin, arrogance is on the other side of the coin. They go hand in hand. Because at the end of the day, why does the person really get angry? He gets angry for one reason, because things didn't go my way. Right? Things are not, if things go your way, does anybody ever get angry? Does anybody get angry when everything goes your way? No, you get angry because things don't go your way. Okay, question. Who made sure that things didn't go your way? Who made sure? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure. If you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure, where are you to be angry? If you believe there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you believe he loves you more than anything in the world, and you believe he knows better than you, so he brought something that's not good for you, it's for your own benefit, that you think isn't good for you, but really it is good for you. Something that didn't go your way, guess what? This is good for you. How could that be? Hashem knows. You don't get angry. Either you believe it's a God-centered universe or it's a me-centered universe. It's a God-centered universe. Hashem knows what he's doing. Hashem makes all the plans. Whatever he's doing is best for you. And if it doesn't go your way, you say, you know what? Okay. You know what? He knows best. I'll have to defer my opinion over here and just let it go. Okay? On the other hand, you know, and this works both ways. This works both ways. I had a similar story. It's interesting. In 1 week, two of these stories. One Sunday after another. So I'll tell you a different story. Okay? I'm venting a little bit, but it's okay. You can learn from this. I can make a whole drush on car stories. On car parking stories. I'm going to make a drush one day just on parked cars. So I was at an affair a week ago Sunday at Clanton Park Synagogue. Okay, you ever parked there? It's a small parking lot. Small parking lot. Maybe room for like 30 cars. Okay? Okay, so I'm coming for a bar mitzvah, and I'm running late, of course. Rabbi's always late. And I am the last one at this bar mitzvah with my wife. And the parking lot is full with one open spot, and I take the last spot. It's not a special spot, regular spot right in the middle of the parking lot. I walk in, everyone's just had been served the buffet, so I know I'm the last person. Like, I know I'm the last person. That's fine. I stayed about an hour, hour and a half, whatever. Meanwhile, during that simcha, there's a big lecture. Pesach Kron is giving a big lecture to inspire people to do kiruv. Okay, this is for frum people. Okay, it's for frum people to do kiruv. And these people came once the parking lot was full. Okay, and there must have been 100 people at that lecture. Okay, I'm finished with the bar mitzvah. Me and my wife, we walk to the car. Now, what's going to be the next part of the story? Now, if you notice, I don't know if you're aware of that parking lot. You know, there's sides on each side. And then there's an empty part in the middle. There's a reason why that part's supposed to be empty in the middle. So the cars can back out. Right? So what happens? Four cars park in the middle. You know, they park in the middle in such a way that you have, you know, it's nearly, if not impossible, to back your car out. So four cars parked in the middle, so another 12 to 14 cars cannot get out. So what am I going to do? Okay, so now, if you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say, listen, Rabbanu Shalom, I don't know what I did, but you want me to suffer a little bit now. Okay? No. I have to go somewhere. I can't, you know. I don't need to be convinced to do Kiruv, right? Do I need to be convinced to do Kiruv?
I would lock you up.
No, I'm not saying you.
No, I'm just saying.
So then I'm trying to get out. You know when you have this situation, you're trying to angle out and back and forth and you're trying and, you know, and it's momish. I'm like an inch off. I can't make it through. And now I'm almost next to the car and I can't back, and I'd have to back it all the way and I can't. It's about 15 minutes going on now. Okay, now you can see how this could get a person very angry.
But weren't you?
No, I was upset that another Jew would do this, and the context was upsetting, but I wasn't angry. I was at the bar mitzvah longer than I should have been, and what happens after the bar mitzvah? It's Sunday night. Now it's time to prepare for the Yeshua class, right? When does Yeshua class get prepared? You know, it takes time to prepare that class. There are hours that go into preparing class. I need those hours to prepare the class, right? And it's Sunday night. Sunday night's when I prepare Monday morning's class. Right? So I'm leaving the bar mitzvah at 9:30. I'd like to get home. Yeah. face. I need to get home with it. I'm spending 15 minutes with this car over here. This lecture is going another hour. Anyway, so my wife says, okay, you know, I'm going to go to the organizer, tell them to make an announcement. You know, people park in the middle, you're please blocking a car. So she goes over, and they say, you know, we can't disturb the lecture. I says, what? You can't disturb the lecture? There's going to be a lot of people leaving, they're all about to leave the bar mitzvah. People aren't going to get out. You know, so first of all, it gave me a tremendous chalishus hadas. I was just very saddened over the state of the Orthodox Jew. You know, they're rushing to go to a sim to hear about Kiruv. So to hear about Kiruv, you're blocking other people. Now you could have parked down the street, you know, on whatever the street's called, Lousmore. And Nebuch, you would have had to walk 4 minutes. But instead, you know, why should I walk 4 minutes when I can make a guy be inconvenienced for an hour and a half? You know, so it's upsetting that the Jewish people, the frum Jewish, and these are people who probably are the better ones because they went to hear a lecture about how to do Kiruv. So anyway, so my wife comes back and says, well, they're not going to announce it. I said, what? They're not going to announce it? Right? And that already is getting really upsetting. You know, not only is one Jew boneheaded enough to block another person, the organizer's more boneheaded that they're not going to even announce it. So I said to my wife, you know what? If I don't get out of here in the next 3 to 4 minutes, I'm going into the lecture and I'm going to clap on the bima and I'm going to make an announcement, making it very clear that there's no kiruv going on here when people are blocking other people's cars. I said, this whole lecture is a farce. Because you want to help other Jews when you block their own cars? You know, this is just ridiculous. Do me one favor. Just get your car out. That's all I want. Anyway, it turns out, I found out later, the next day, that finally these people did make the announcement. Okay? And they passed it on, and he announced it, and nobody went out to move the car. Okay, which even gave me more chalisha sadas. Yeah. So the speaker said, you know, maybe a few people should go out so you won't embarrass the ones but nobody went out. Nobody bothered to take care of it.
How'd you get out?
Oh, so now there is Hashem in this world. There is Hashem. So, I mean, but I really was calm. Like, you know, years ago, I'd be livid. Years ago. You know, okay, it was upsetting. You know, it's upsetting. But I said, okay, listen, Hashem, you want me to suffer? Either you want me to suffer or you want me to educate the people in the lecture that they're not mentioned. It's just not a mensch. I said I would stay there. I said I'm not leaving this lecture until the people take their car out. I'll say, because you know, you guys are all part of a big avera. It's all geneva. You're stealing people's time. And that I forgave whoever it is, I don't know who it was. I said I forgive that person. That person stole 20 minutes of my time. He'll burn in hell for it. So I was Michael. Where it is? I was Michael him at night, the Kriya Shema. Remember, you Michael everybody. I said, I Michael the guy who, the four boneheaded people who parked in front. I Michael them. I mean, I don't want them to burn in hell because what they did. I'm not going to swear in epithets like the first story I mentioned. But I said, you know what? Hashem wants me to waste my time. If I'm wasting my time, I'm going to give the class. I'm going to teach him what Pesach Kron isn't even ready to talk about. That you have to be a mensch before you want to do Kiruv. And I would have stayed there till I don't know. That's what I was going to do. Anyway, so Hashem sends a nice South African who left the bar mitzvah too, who's parked further in, but not blocked. So he sees what's going on. He's trying to direct me out. He can't get me out. He says, I have an idea. Let me back out of my spot. You go forward, I could go. Backward. Forward is not getting out of the lot. Backward is. He says, you go forward into my spot, now that's available. And now going forward, it's probably easier to get out. And that's what he did. He got out, and then I followed him out. Okay? But this was at least 20 minutes. So I'm saying, I was busy. I was in a rush. I'm in a rush, right? But I have to say, okay, I'm not in such a rush to get angry, start swearing at people. You know, but that now you can understand, you know, why that's the devotees are. It can get you angry. If you believe there's a God in the world, then he's running the show. You know, now again, if this was in California, you take the gun out and shoot the guy. Now, you understand? You understand? Now, let's think about this. You're in California. Now, is this guy really a murderer? Like, is he a thug? You know? But you know what? It's California, man.
Yeah, sure, Rabbi. Come on.
No, no. I'm saying it's California, right? So think of Avra Yardane as California. I mean, isn't there a more godless place in the United States than California? Hollywood, place.
Vegas?
Maybe Vegas. I'm saying, but California is not one of the holiest cities of the world. You don't think of California, Los Angeles as the holy city. You know, it doesn't come to mind right away. It's in such a place, people, you know, for a parking spot, they kill a guy. Why? Why? Because there's no God in their life, and who are you to take my parking spot? And you kill a guy over it. So that's what I'm saying. If you live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you totally believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not going to get angry. You're going to say, okay, this is a Ratzon Hashem, and that's all. But if you live without God, you have a different type of idol worship, you get angry, you're going to pull a gun on somebody. That's what these psukim are teaching us over here. So therefore, look. Let's see now. V'nei l'kamen, we're going to learn later on in Perek Chof Beis. The next story we're going to learn in Sefer Yeshua talks about how when the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and Menashe, when Yeshua says, you did your job, good job, guys, you can go back to your homes and live your regular life. And we're told, I'm not going to give you the details, but basically what they did is they built a Mizbeach over there, which really was, they thought, was prohibited. We'll talk about it. Yeshua hears this, so he gives them a rebuke. And he says like this, he says, Va'ach im tmeya eretz achuzasem. Even if your land portion is unholy, so then if you think so, then come on our side. In other words, why are you building a mizbeach on the other side? But the main lines, if you think your other side is not holy, the other side of the Jordan is not holy, eretz tmeya. So Rashi writes over there, that's the next underline, because of Rashi, Shelachach nikras eretz eva yard and eretz tmeya. Why is the other side of the Jordan called eretz tmeya? The impure land. Shekein lo bochar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hashris b'shechinah, because Hashem did not choose to keep his Shekhinah there. To put his Shekhinah there. The Shekhinah is not on the east bank. It's on the west bank. It's by the Beis HaMikdash. It's not on the east bank. Because it's compared to the west bank, it's Tomei. So that's what Rashi says. Hashem didn't choose to put his Shekhinah there. V'hine, now we say, even Shane Bahashra's Shekhinah, since the Shekhinah isn't resting there, Motzi b'Yoyser Avodah Zorah. Therefore, it's possible to have more Avodah Zorah where the Shekhinah doesn't exist. When you can feel the divine presence, then you can feel Hashem more in your life. It's less likely that you're going to turn to someone else. Vochikfar Omru Chazal, and as the rabbi tells us, the famous line, Kol Ador B'chutz La'aretz, anyone who lives outside of the land of Israel, who can finish up the line? Doma Kamisha ain't lo eloka. He's similar to a person who has no God. It's Chazal say this, not me. It's not that he is one, but he's like somebody who has no God. It's like. It's not that he has no God, but it's like. Now, you understand. You understand what that means. Right? You live outside of Eretz Yisrael, you got other bosses. You got other pressures. Now, one thing you can say about Eretz Yisrael, for all the negative things that there are, you know, but everybody, you know, to a certain degree, takes it easy there. To a certain degree, you know. Guy's supposed to come at 2:00, he doesn't show up. He says, you're supposed to come on Wednesday. The guy says, I didn't say which Wednesday. You know, they don't get that uptight, you know, let things go, you know. Middle of the day, I'll close the store. You know, but I'm just saying, you know, if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's like you don't got a God. L'kach motzi b'akas. That's why anger is found so much over there. Is it a question why people get angry? In a place where you don't sense godliness? Imagine if you're in a shul during Ne'ilah. During Ne'ilah. You're going to get angry during Ne'ilah. You know, you have to be a pretty low individual to get angry during Ne'ilah. Right? Now, if you're in Las Vegas, it's easier to get angry. Right? You know, in a certain place where you're going to feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. Ulakach Amar Ula Rabbi Nachman. That's why Ula, remember the story. Ula said to Rabbi Nachman, he saw one guy killing the other guy on the other side of the Jordan River. He said, Sheyos, below Avarnas Yarden, since we didn't cross the Jordan River, there must have been a lot of anger. Lahana ben Chazoy to these guys from Chuzoy, until one guy slaughtered the other guy. So that's the point. And we know, why did the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, why do they want the other side of the Jordan River? Chazal say, because they had a lot of cattle, they had a lot of money. And that was, to a certain extent, their other idol. It was their other idol. It was their idol worship. And ultimately, that became a land that was much more godless than the other side of the Jordan River. So that would cause them to worship idols, and that causes anger, and anger causes killing. And that's why there's more killing over there. So that's why the East Bank had much more killing, because there was less of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the same thing about Shechem. Why were there more murderers in Shechem? Because Shechem was where the Pesel Micha was, the idol of Micha. There was idolatry in the Shechem region. And since there was idolatry in the Shechem region, also, there was more murderers in Shechem. So we should all, you should all be zoicha that we should try to be in an environment where Torah is more conducive, where we should become less angry and less stressed, and not have to have any of those issues that come around that. There's still one more topic to talk about, and we'll close the topic of Yerem Miklat tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem.